Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube. Goal number one complete. The Flames have clinched a playoff spot. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode 123, recording on a Wednesday, April 20th. Yeah, Flames had a busy week this week, four games on the docket. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good week, Flames clinched. Any better than that? Yeah, no? That's the Pacific tonight, maybe. Oh, solid week. I know some people didn't think so. But I liked the performance last night against Nashville, and how do you complain? Like, we clinched a spot, we didn't, you know, we had a hiccup against Vegas, but beyond that, not so bad. You know, you think back to the beginning of the season, and what we expected from the team. And to be clinching 9 days, I believe, before the end of the season, jeez. You'd be pretty happy with that, don't you? It's funny how our expectations change, and mine did too. Don't worry. When this season started, I was just like, let's try to sneak into a playoff spot, get lucky, see what happens. Probably going to have to move Gaudreau. Can't afford to lose him for nothing. All that. Oof, little did I know what would happen. We'd go on a streak, win a lot of hockey games. Gaudreau would be fantastic. Lindholm, Tkachuk, Shillington, Tanev, Markstrom, everybody having career years, and we'd be sitting here preparing for the playoffs 10 days early. I mean, wow. I think everybody in Calgary would have been happy with that, wouldn't we? You know, the December struggles when COVID hit, and right before COVID hit when we lost four in a row, I was really worried. And through that whole COVID break, coming out of it, I'm like, what is this team going to be, you know? And they came out of it, all right. And then they hit stride and really got going. And I worried a little bit about a letdown later in the season than the dog days like we're in now, but not. I don't think we've seen it. We've had a couple hiccups in the road. I don't think any team in the league can't say they haven't had a few hiccups in the road. Our first line's been arguably the best line in all of hockey. A lot to be thankful for. A lot to talk about on this episode. We're going to recap the four games from this week. Two wins, two losses. All in all, in my opinion, a good week. Then we're going to talk about clinching the playoff spot and potentially clinching the Pacific Division. And what lies ahead for playoff opponents? Who do we want? Who do we not want? All those good things. And then we'll talk about... I'm probably not going to make some friends with this one, but we're going to talk about Milan Lucic and how I feel like he's getting a free pass on his recent struggles. And I don't know. I just wonder why the Heat's never on Milan Lucic. And then we'll go into some Flames news, some Pacific playoff race news, talk about a great Facebook question I came up with, and some really cool answers to it, too. And then we'll close with a recap of this week's games. Busy, busy, busy as the Flames head towards those playoffs. And, yeah, it's time to talk Flames hockey on Flames Unfiltered. All right, Flames fans, four games to cover. Let's get the crappy one out of the way, huh? Back Thursday night, April 14th, Vegas in Calgary. Flames scored first. Yeah, everything looked really good, didn't it? Not so quick. Tanev gets hit by Keegan Kolesar on a real questionable hit. It only resulted in a two-minute penalty. Thank goodness Tanev was okay. Boy, that would have been just devastating, huh? Then the team, I thought, spent the night chasing him. And I'm all about retribution. I'm all about, but I think you got to do it right away, don't you? You can't waste your whole night chasing him, can you? And I feel like we did that. And Lucic went out of his way to get in his face and took a penalty, resulted in a goal. Mangiapane kind of, I don't know, undercut him, got a penalty for it, resulted in a goal. We can't do that in the playoffs. We got to learn to take care of business. And I'm not saying you don't protect your players. I don't want anybody to think I'm not that way because I'm an old fashioned hockey guy. But you can't do it at the sake of losing the game plan, right? I think, you know, pumping a few in on the and beating them would have been a hell of a lot more devastating, especially for Vegas, who is climbing and clinging to any point they can get, and they pick up two against Calgary. Flames did outshoot the Golden Knights 36-25. Markstrom was yanked after two. I don't believe it was really his fault. He looked really, really good in the first, and when he got yanked, he looked pissed at the team, or pissed at Sutter. But I think it was the team. I don't think the team came to play, and they let him down over and over and over by taking stupid penalties. And it just wasn't a good night. I had a bad taste in my mouth after this game, and I hoped it would be a wake-up call for the Flames. Well, it proved to be just that. Saturday night, Arizona comes into town, and Arizona sucks. I don't even know how to freaking sugarcoat it. This team is god-awful. They score right away to start the game. I thought, oh, geez. Here we go. Carry over from the Vegas game. Now, Flames score six in the third, three in the third, six in the second, three in the third, 9-1. At one point in the second period, they scored four goals in 2 minutes and 33 seconds. That's the second fastest span of scoring four goals in franchise history, dating back to 93 when they did it against the San Jose Sharks. I believe that was a night that Theo Fleury had just a ton of points. Markstrom gets the win in this game, his 35th of the year. Mangiapane with a game-winning goal. Gaudreau had two goals, two assists, plus four. Matthew Tkachuk, two goals, two assists, plus four. And then Lindholm, yep, just a measly one goal, three assists. That line was batshit crazy. They were unreal against it in Arizona. And it was actually unreal how bad Arizona was. I didn't – to see a National Hockey League team – in the state that Arizona's in is it's an embarrassment for the National Hockey League, and not just how crappy they are on the ice, but just the whole organization and now playing in this little tiny arena next year, and it's just a bad look for the league, and I'm surprised all it's happening, but that's a topic for another day. Then on Monday night, Calgary heads to Chicago for a battle with the Chicago Blackhawks. Kind of a ho-hum game, 3-1 after one for the Flames. 3-2 after two, Calgary picks up two more in the third. 5-2 final, couple empty netters, I believe it was. Coleman with a goal and assist, plus two. Gaudreau with two goals. Markstrom, his 36th win. Coleman's goal was the game winner. Fast forward one night ago, and just the very next night, second night of a back-to-back, the Flames hit Music City to take on the Nashville Predators in what will likely be a playoff preview. What a hockey game. I thought the first period was really a slow grind of a start. Didn't think the Flames looked all that great. Second period, really, really good. Nashville gets out 2-2 lead. Calgary does answer back 2-1 after two. Calgary picks up a goal in the third to tie it. We go to a shootout. Nashville wins. UC Saros, who had a really good win, or really good game, wins his 38th. Dan Vladar, who started this game and I thought played amazingly well, gets the loss in this one. That's too bad, because I think he deserved a better fate in this one. I think he'd probably want the power play goal back. But all in all, just a couple 10 ballers, just some really timely good saves. I like Daniel Vladar. I like what he's done. I got a gut feeling we're going to see him again on Thursday night against Dallas as they come to the Saddle Dome. And a very, very good start. And even Sutter gave him a little bit of praise after the game. So that was nice to see. Mangiapane with both goals for the Flames and two goals that I thought were prototypical playoff goals. Goals that you're going to need in the playoffs and the grind it out in front of that. And I'm really, really excited to see what Mangiapane brings in the playoffs, because you look at him and the way he plays, it's geared for playoff hockey. He's going to be really, really good in the playoffs this year. Flames clinch. Yeah, they are in the playoffs. They clinch against Arizona, which ironically in 2004, the Flames clinched against Arizona. It was nice. They actually did clinch before even playing the game. I can't remember if it was because Edmonton lost or what, but anyways, it didn't matter. The Flames took care of their business, did what they had to do. And that was really, really, really nice to see. With an impressive win over the Arizona Coyotes. So who are the Flames going to play? I've thought a ton about this. And I remember back to when in 18-19, when we went in against Colorado and everybody was like, yeah, 1-8, this is going to be great. This is exactly what the Flames need. And we got slaughtered. I'm taking the attitude that, like, this is a good hockey team. Whoever we play, we're going to do well. And we're going to have to beat the best to be the best, right? So that's the attitude we have to take. But I'm still excited to see who we play. Well, as of the end of last night, and I get these statistics from The Athletic, which is a great website. Go subscribe. Yep. Get on it. Great. Great Calgary Flames covered. Haley does just an amazing job over at The Athletic. So the projections stand that the Flames have a 67% chance to play the Dallas Stars, our opponent tomorrow night, and a 31% chance to play the Nashville Predators, who we played last night. Both have been great series between the two as the season has went on. There is a slim chance, I suppose, we could play Vegas, a slim chance we could play Vancouver, a slim chance we could play Los Angeles, albeit very, very slim. Those are about the only opportunities for anybody that we could play. Let's talk about the big two, the two that are most likely to happen. And the first one is the Dallas Stars. So how do the Flames match up against the Stars? The Stars are a weird team. Stars are a team that struggles. In the season series this year, it's 1-1. We play tomorrow night against them in the third and final time. In Calgary earlier in the year, Dallas defeated the Flames 4-3 in overtime. And then in Dallas, Calgary defeated the Dallas Stars 4-3, both one-goal games, both good games. Dallas always plays the Flames hard. They always play the Flames hard. And they did this year. Actually, the second game, we shouldn't even have won. Dallas should have won that. That's always been a tough, tough matchup for the Flames. And I don't know why this is a completely different team this year. It should be completely irrelevant, but it's not. And it just seems, like it's one of those, I'm not sure why we struggle with them because we are more talented in pretty much every category. I like Dallas's defense though. Ottinger and Nets young, I don't want to say unproven because he's been very good, but not playoff proven, that's for sure. Up front, you have a group of older forwards that have produced and done very, very well in their career, but tend to waver in and out of success. And if you catch them at the wrong time, yeah, they go on a big runs like they did in the bubble, right? So this team worries me a little bit. It's been good matchups every single night. And tomorrow night will be interesting. I think the Flames are going to come out buzzing again tomorrow night and see how they do against this Dallas Stars team. That's a good hockey team. And no matter which one of these two opponents we get, or even if it was Vegas, I think all of them are going to just be really, really difficult first-round opponents for the Flames. Nashville, let's talk a little bit about Nashville. As they hold the season series against the Flames, 2-0. They do play one more time. Next Tuesday night, the Flames head back to Music City to take on Nashville. Early in the year, Nashville defeated Calgary at home 3-2 in overtime. And then just last night, Nashville defeated the Flames 3-2 in a shootout in Nashville. And playoff atmosphere last night. Boy, that game was good. Oh, just gritty, physical. The Nashville's going to be a team that I worry a little bit about physically. And that's crazy to say because Calgary, to me, is probably one of the most physical teams in the National Hockey League. But Nashville can bring it. UC Saros been very, very good this year. He's getting Roman Yossi. What do you say there? Big body, can score, can do everything on the back end. And they've got a few guys up front that are going to be pain in the asses to play against. And this matchup's going to be a difficult one for the Flames. And it, just like the Dallas one is going to be, both are going to be, struggles. I mean, the Flames, I think the Flames can win both those series. But I also think that they're not going to be four game sweeps. They're going to be gritted out, grinded out. Let's make sure your lunch pail type games. And that's going to be fun, but nerve wracking on top of that. So with the Flames clinching, you wonder, okay, let's look at the schedule from here on out. There is five games remaining for the Flames. They play Dallas and Vancouver at home. They play in Nashville next Tuesday and then wrap up the season series in Minnesota and in Winnipeg to close it all out. I got a feeling we're going to not have all hands on deck for those last two games. I'm guessing we might sit a few guys, rest a few guys, especially if there's bumps and bruises. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe Sutter's going to roll them straight on through and we'll see. As far as the Nashville game next Tuesday night, I think that's going to be balls to the wall, full lineup, playoff ready. Here we go. We'll see what happens with Vladar down the stretch. If I had to bet, I would say Vladar gets a start against Dallas and then gets the start against Minnesota and Winnipeg. Markstrom getting the start against the middle two teams, Vancouver, Nashville. That's going to give him big break this and big break next week. Then let's take a look at, with the way the playoffs set up, Nashville and Dallas both have fairly difficult schedules heading down the stretch. Will be interesting to see Vegas. Boy, they are just trying and to do everything to get into the playoffs. We'll see tonight if the Flames can clinch the Pacific. That'll be very, very interesting. All right, now we're gonna ruffle some feathers. We're gonna talk about Milan Lucic, and Milan Lucic is a great player, and started the year out really, really well. But man, is he tapered off, and nobody talks about it. And it seems like he often gets a free pass, and I don't understand why Monahan. And I'm not trying to protect Monahan. I'm just using him as an example. Why Monahan was crucified so bad this year, when he was producing on pace with Lucic. You look at, and let's just throw the bad contract aside. We knew what we were getting into with the Lucic contract. We knew it wasn't great. We knew it wasn't good. But we knew the role he had to fill, and that was a big body physical player. And as a whole, since he's come to Calgary, it's been up and down. He's had a few stretches where he's been awful, and he's had some stretches where he was really, really good. And we saw that earlier this season. But he's really, really, really slowed as the season has went on. And I've talked about this with a couple other guys in Flames Twitter and just various colleagues that work with the Flames. And the topic has been brought up numerous times that maybe Lucic should be getting some rest. He's not the youngest guy. Milan Lucic is 33 years old. He's got one more year on this big contract. But what is so glaring to me is earlier part of the season, I thought he was much more effective. Now, he didn't score in the first five, but then backed it up with the goal against New Jersey and a goal against Pittsburgh. Won two games without any points, and then had back-to-back goal games, and then had a little slow stretch, but then nailed off three in the next four, and then a little slow stretch, and nailed off a few goals in January too. But since January 22nd, Milan Lucic has had one goal. That's not real good. He currently on the season sits at 10 goals, 10 assists, 20 points, and 77 games. Another stat that scares me a little bit is that he's minus 10. And this team has very few minus players. that's slightly concerning. He seems a step behind. He seems like he's wore out or he's injured. One of the two. I don't know. He's never been the fleetest of foot, but seems to be struggling to show any effectiveness at all. And now I know his role, and I want him to be on that fourth line. And I don't expect him to score a bunch of goals. And I know people are going to message me and say, well, when he was scoring those goals, he was playing third line and things like that. I would agree. He's been averaging as of late between his low is 748 in a game and his high is 12 minutes, and that's in the last 10 games. Earlier in the year, he was averaging a little bit higher, the 13, 14-minute mark. He had one game at 17 minutes. Wow. But all in all, I mean, he's pretty much solidified that fourth line spot here for quite some time. And I'm not picking on Milan Lucic. I think he's actually going to be a pretty critical player for this team down in the playoffs. And he has the experience. But I often feel that this fan base and also Daryl Sutter give him a free pass a lot of times. A lot of plays stop on his stick. He struggles as of late to make some of the simple plays. And I don't know. The game just looks really hard for him right now. And that's not the Milan Lucic we saw earlier this year and in stages last year. And that scares me a little bit going into the most important time and the time we really need him. We need him to set tones. We're going to be a big, strong physical team in the playoffs. And boy, we need Milan Lucic to just step up to the plate and really carry the lunchbox for us in that. In his 3 years in Calgary, he had 10 goals last year in 56 games. Oh, let's see if he can pot a few more before the end of the year. But boy, it just doesn't seem like as of late, he's been a strong player. We'll see. He was a five-hole master earlier in the year. Man, if he could get hot and start doing that again, that would be amazing, amazing. But as of now, right, it worries me a little bit where we're at with Milan Lucic, and we'll see how he is coming into the playoffs. I'm just a little confused because some of these players on this team get just crucified by Flames Twitter and stuff, but Milan Lucic seems to get a free pass. He needs to step up his game. We need him to be better right now, and hopefully he does step up and do that, just that. Hey, hockey fans, check out the Debate Hockey Podcast. Hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars debate all the happenings throughout the hockey world every single week on the Debate Hockey Podcast. All right, Flames fans, time to roll through some Flames news, some real quick. Valimaki sent back to Stockton. That happened earlier in the week. Markstrom's workload. Been a hot topic, hasn't it, in Calgary? It really has. I worry a little bit about it. I do trust Dale Sutter, and it's hard to question what he's done this year, isn't it? He ended up looking like an idiot if you question him. But Markstrom's been playing a lot, and it's his first time in his career. He surpassed 60 games. In 17-18, he played 60 for a total of 34-13 in minutes. In 18-19, he played 60 for 3,599 minutes. And right now, he's sitting at 60 games and 3,515 minutes. So we'll see what Daryl Sutter does down the stretch. One of the listeners on the show today threw out a question or threw out a comment for Davidson, says Vladar looks better than Markstrom in the past 3 weeks. I'm not going to really argue with you. I don't know that I could say that he looks better because we've already seen Vladar. We have seen him fill in twice as Markstrom was pulled in two games, in the third period, and we saw Vladar. So good point. We've seen Vladar a little bit more lately. We saw him in two third periods and in a full game last night against Nashville. And I thought Vladar looked good in all three of them. Now, Markstrom, Markstrom looked really, really good in that Vegas game in the first period before things unraveled. And I haven't really thought, oh man, I'm worried about Markstrom going down to the playoffs. So for me to say that Vladar is playing better, I I don't know if I'd say that. I'd say Vladar's doing his job, right? And that's exactly what we need. But for us to sit as a fan base and worry about Markstrom heading down the stretch, I think is silly. We have a Vezina Canada goalie, I would think, this year, and he's been lights out. He has played a lot, and I'm very interested to see down the stretch. As I talked about earlier, I would think that he'd maybe get the Dallas game this Thursday night and probably the final two games of the season. We'll see how that all pans out, but it does worry me, and I think it worries a lot of people in Calgary how much Markstrom's playing. But you also got to look, too, at I think Sutter's looking at how much work he's getting within those minutes. He's had a few games this year where he hasn't gotten a lot of work, too. So, obviously, they're in way more communications and know a whole hell of a lot more about this than we do. But, yes, it does worry me. Yes, I'd like to see Vladar get the start against Dallas here on Thursday night and really give Markstrom a solid week off, kind of a reboot, comes back fresh, and we'll see how he does handling everything down the stretch. But I'm not worried about goaltending headed into the playoffs. Gaudreau, he pots his 600th career goal. Man, 37th goal, it was his 600th career, and that is the first he's the only Flame to join Jerome McGinley, Theron Fleury, Al MacInnis, and Joe Nieuwendyk to record 600 points with the Calgary Flames. That's some pretty good company there. Again, Fleury, MacInnis, and Nieuwendyk. Wow. That's crazy. He also becomes the 18th player in NHL history to have 85-plus even strength points in a season, as this guy is not just doing it on the power play. He is scoring, and he's scoring timely, critical goals for this team. And it's been a pleasure to watch this year. Injuries, let's talk a little bit about that. Tanev did get a little shot in the Vegas game to the head. It ended up being just fine, which is great, great news. Hanifin blocked a shot late in the Nashville game. Flames had the day off today, so I don't have an update on that. We'll know tomorrow during morning skate if Hanifin's okay. I think he would be. I did receive a report that he was on the bench for the shootout. It looked like he blocked it just on the side of his leg towards his knee and kind of limped off at the end of the overtime. So critical block, though, but let's hope he's okay. The biggest thing going into the playoffs, and I hear tons of franchises talk about this, where it's like, we just need to be kind of rolling a little bit. Everybody needs to be feeling good ahead of the playoffs, and let's just hope the Flames can stay injury-free down this stretch here. Let's roll on in and talk about the division a little bit and talk about the Pacific and the playoff race as it stands in the Western Conference, because the East, not all that exciting. As just some jockeying for position over there, but everything else is solidified. Let's look at the Pacific. Calgary has locked down a playoff spot, and tonight possibly could lock down a Pacific division. The Flames have played 77 games, are currently sitting at 104 points, a plus 82 differential, which is crazy, crazy good. Edmonton holds that second place and looks like that's going to be locked down with 94 points. It gets a little bit hairy, though, for the third place. Los Angeles currently holds it with 92 points, with Vegas and Vancouver breathing down their neck, 87 points each for those two teams. They have played one less game than Los Angeles, so both those teams take care of business in their game in hand. They will be just a couple points. They'll be at 89. They'll be 3 points back of the Los Angeles Kings, and I know Vancouver does play Los Angeles in that final game of the season. But here's the big but. Everybody thinks Los Angeles is going to hold that spot simply because Los Angeles has a really, really easy schedule heading down the stretch. I think Vancouver and Vegas are both going to give it as a good, good run. Vancouver lost a big point last night as Ottawa beat them in a shootout. So they gave up a point. They've been really hot lately, 6-2-2 in their last 10. Los Angeles eked out a win over the Ducks last night. Jonathan Quick was really, really good. Shades of Stanley Cup, Jonathan Quick. They're 5-4-1 winners of their last two. The other two playoff spots are currently being held down in the wild card with Nashville and Dallas. We talked about that earlier. Now, if the playoffs started today, where would we sit? Number one in the Central would be the Colorado Avalanche. They would take on the number two wild card Dallas Stars. Number two in the Central, Minnesota, would take on number three in the Central, St. Louis. number one in the Pacific. Calgary would be taking on the number one wild card Nashville Predators. Number two in the Pacific, Edmonton Oilers would take on the number three Los Angeles Kings. Over in the East, in the Metro, the number one team is the Carolina Hurricanes. They would take on the one wild card Boston Bruins. The New York Rangers would be the second seed of the Metro, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins, the third seed in the Metro. The top team in the Eastern Conference, the number one team in the Atlantic, Florida Panthers, would take on the number two wild card Washington Capitals. Toronto Maple Leafs would hold down that second in the Atlantic and take on the Tampa Bay Lightning, the third in the Atlantic. Boy, would that be a matchup. Some really good matchups there if you take a look at it. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. I've been watching every night to see how this Vegas-Vancouver-Los Angeles shuffle works out. And that'll be interesting to see how that just pans out. Now, this week I did a little bit something different on Facebook. I'm part of a bunch of different Calgary Flames Facebook groups. If you're a fan of the Flames, get on over. There's a bunch of them. Flames Hub, Calgary Flames Fans, Calgary Flames Fan Page, all kinds of different ones that I think you should really join and talk and get to know some other Calgary Flames fans. But this week I put a question up on there, and I just put on there, if you could ask Daryl Sutter one question, what would you ask him? I'm just curious what people wanted to know from Daryl Sutter. Now, I don't have Daryl Sutter here to answer these. I wish I did. That would be a lot of fun because he's one of my top five guys I'd like to sit down and really, really visit with. Some of the responses, interesting. And I'll tell you what I thought. Jordan Palinkins, why don't you play Vidar more? I'd like to know that answer too. I think I know what his answer would be. I trust Markstrom more. Need 2 points. I think that's what the answer would be. Eric Sirota, does Eric Francis get on your nerves? I like Eric Francis. I do. I think he kind of gets on my nerves. I think he probably gets on Daryl Sutter's nerves a little bit too. Duncan McDonald, do you believe in this team? That'd be a really good question. Cause we hear so much of, well, this team has a lot of learning to do. This team's not quite there yet. Da, 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 da. I wonder what he really does believe though. I'd love to know like what Daryl Sutter is sitting at home thinking at night now. Does he feel like this team's where he wants them to be heading into playoffs? Be interesting to know the truth behind that. Darte Dwayne Bolak, his question was, why don't you play Stone more? Well, I think he feels comfortable playing Stone. I'm not sure what his answer would be. My answer would be, I wouldn't mind seeing Stone in the lineup more. I love his shot. I do. I think he's got the best shot on the team from the point. It's a rocket. He's calming out there. He's really a calming player. Knows his limitations. I think he does a hell of a good job. Justin Maxa, who's the favorite Flames player that you've coached? That would be interesting. That would be interesting. My question, you know what I want to ask him right now? Earlier in the year, Daryl Sutter said it wasn't a good idea to have Adam Rziska center in the fourth line because he's a scorer and an offensive threat. But I thought about it more. I'm like, well, I know that, and we don't expect a ton from our fourth line. But I think rather than having Lewis, Richie, and Lucic, doesn't Rziska with Lewis and Lucic on the wings sound a hell of a lot better? Now, the other night when we beat the Coyotes 9-1, Sutter fielded the lineup that I would field if the playoffs were starting tomorrow. And that was Lindholm centering Gaudreau and Tkachuk, Backlund centering Mangiapane Toffoli, Yarncroke centering Coleman and Dubé, and Rziska centering Lewis and Lucic. That's my lineup I would go with. And we had great results with that lineup the other night. Huge win, albeit not a formidable opponent. I'm interested to see where Rziska slots in and if he slots in the playoffs. I think he's been fine. I don't think he's been great, but I think we've seen flashes of what we're going to see in the future. And I haven't said that about a lot of Flames prospects. I just feel like he would bring a little extra jump to that fourth line. And I'm interested to see if anything comes of that and if that's something Daryl Sutter does when the playoffs do come. That's a question I'd want to ask him. Now, Daryl Sutter is just an intriguing guy, and Michael Parkinson had probably one of the best questions that he would want to ask. His question? Can I buy you a coffee or a beer? I got a feeling Daryl Sutter would say beer. And you know what? If I had to list five people to sit down and have a beer with right now, Daryl Sutter would be in my top five.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, couple games to preview this week. We got three games before we talk next week. Dallas comes to town Thursday night, April 21st. They're currently fifth in the Central, 91 points, currently in the final wild card spot, and a probable opponent for the Calgary Flames in the first round of the playoffs. Vancouver comes to the Saddle Dome Saturday night for a Hockey Night in Canada battle. They're currently fifth in the Pacific, 87 points, fighting for every point they can get, fighting for their playoff lives. They're currently 4 points out of a playoff spot. Fourth and final meeting between the Flames and the Canucks. Earlier this year in Calgary, the Flames won 1-0. In Vancouver, the Canucks pounded the Flames. Remember this one? 7-1. And then a few months after that, in Vancouver, Calgary beat the Canucks 5-2. Calgary hits the road again on Tuesday night as they're in Music City in Nashville to take on the fourth in the Central, 93-point Nashville Predators, currently holding down the number one wild card spot in the Western Conference, another likely opponent for the playoffs. That'll be interesting, as last night's game was, whew, seriously, playoff atmosphere in the second, third period. Hopefully that carries over to Tuesday night and we get another dandy like we saw last night. The magic number. The magic number has been clinched. The Flames are in the playoffs as far as the Pacific goes. A shootout loss, a single point along the way. It is one game right now. And they get their first chance Wednesday night. If Edmonton loses in regulation to Dallas, Flames clinch the Pacific. And Edmonton loses, and that's always fun, right? It's always fun to watch Edmonton lose. Yep. If Edmonton loses to Dallas on Wednesday night, it's done deal. The Flames will clinch first place in the Pacific. And boy, would that be... that'd be really, really good. We are back next week, and we are going to be doing a show, depending on some situations. It looks like Wednesday night we'll be doing the show, and we'll update you of any schedule changes for that. Next time we talk, yeah, Flames will have five more games to go. Whew. Well, actually, next time we talk, no, they'll have two more games to go. Because right now they have five games to go. Two more at home, three more on the road. Their home stand starts tomorrow night when the Dallas Stars come to town. It's getting exciting. Check out flamesunfiltered.com. Yep. Have a great week, Flames fans.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.